we're going to be dealing in the book of Hebrews with the superiority of Christ, but at the same time, we're also going to be dealing with Jewish Hebrew Christians. They were literally going back to sacrificing and really forfeiting the grace of God, getting into works, and really forgetting what Christ really did for us on the cross and why he came. And many say that this is Luke the writer. The book of Hebrews, they say it's an unknown writer. I believe it's Paul the apostle. The writing is like the way he writes. Doesn't matter who wrote it. The Holy Spirit wrote it. You know, the whole Bible. But it's so cool because when you think of that physical ears to hear the voice of God, it also requires a receptive heart. If you don't have a receptive heart, you can't receive what God is saying to you. That's the problem with a lot of people. Their heart is hardened. As a matter of fact, Paul the Apostle, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 11, he says this, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Wow. They will not enter into my rest. And the people died in the wilderness. The only people that were able to enter into the promised land with Joshua once Moses died were those under 20 years of age and under. Everybody over 20 died, never got to see the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. Because of unbelief. Because they did not have a receptive heart. There's a lot of people like that in church today. There's a lot of backsliders. A lot of people that really have not fully committed their whole life to Jesus Christ. The epistle to Hebrews presents here several interesting problems to the student of God's word. Number one, here is a book that begins like a sermon, but it is like a letter to the Christian. Hebrews 13:22-25, it says, "And I appeal to you," Paul says, "brethren, bear with me the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, in whom I shall see if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you, and all the saints, those from Italy, greet you. Rome, grace be with all of you, so be it." Very interesting. The author, I believe, is Paul the Apostle. And yet no author's name is attached to the letter, nor is this designation clearly given. But I believe it's Paul the Apostle, the writer. He wrote 14 letters, beginning with Romans, through the book of Hebrews. And yet, certain passages in this book have been wrongly used to upset Christians. This is where we get into the theology of once saved, always saved. By the time we get to chapter 6 and chapter 10 of Hebrews. Pretty interesting. We should remember that the epistle was originally given to exhort and encourage God's people. Hebrew Christians. And yet, it is so important to study Hebrews in the light of the Word of God and not as to isolate the book and say it's too difficult to understand. No, it's not difficult to understand. Because here he's going to tell you Christ is better than angels. Christ is better than Moses. Christ is better than Aaron. Christ is better than any sacrifice. Christ is it. He's the Savior of the world. It's really important to study the message. And yet the main message of Hebrews, it summarizes the whole thing in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, therefore, having the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now what Paul is saying, look, you guys, you're immature. You're still doing the ABCs when you should really be eating steak and really be doing syllables and doing sentences, and you should be able to read. You should be advanced, not going backwards, not staying in the same place. That happens to a lot of Christians. They stay in the same place. They never grow. They never develop. They never mature into what Christ Jesus wants us to be like. Think if you had a son. And your son is born at 2 years old, 3 years old. You know, you expect them to be 2 or 3 years old. They're going through whatever they do. You know, they're kind of funny and they're whiny and they scream and they yell and they're bratty and they do all these things. But imagine if your 3 year old, not being 25 years old, is acting like a 3 year old. You would say something's definitely wrong. Yes. Think of when you came to Christ. And where you are today. Think about that. Have you grown since last year? Have you taken care of the problems from last year? Or maybe 10 years ago that you had? Do you still have those same problems? You haven't really grown. You haven't really matured. Are you still making the same stupid decisions you made when you first came to Christ? Or have you matured in wisdom and knowledge? Are you a little smarter now? That's what Paul's saying. Where are you spiritually? To me, it's amazing. I thank God for Calvary Chapel because we get to study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Over and over, we finish, we start all over again. But to me, it's a wonder, you know, there are so many new people coming in and out of the church that when you ask how many people have really read the Bible all the way through, we don't want to raise hands, but I'm always shocked that people have been in the Lord 10, 15 years and they never ever read once through the Bible. Well, you should read through the Bible every year or twice through the year to know the Word of God. That's maturity. But there are so many people that don't do that. They don't grow. They stay in the same place and then they're asking why they're in so much trouble. Well, number one is because they're being deceived because they don't know how to defend themselves spiritually because they do not know God's word. They don't know the promises of God. They don't know how to put on the armor of God. They don't know how to fight the enemy. That's why we come to Bible studies. That's why we go through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, line upon line, precept upon precept. And there was a definite problem in the Hebrew church. The same problem I think we have today. Immaturity, unbelief. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, 11 to 14, Paul says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need that someone teach you again the ABCs and the oracles of God, and you came to need milk instead of solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of a full age, that is, those who by reason of the use have their senses exercised to discern what's good and what's evil. You see? That's what I told you before. If you don't have discernment between good and evil, then you're not really growing. You're being deceived. You should be able to discern as a child of God. You know, you're not in the ABCs any longer. We're moving on, you know, to meat and the vegetables. And the milk is behind us. Growing in the Lord, maturing in the Lord, getting closer to the heart of the Lord, getting to know who He is. Why? Because we're going to spend eternity with Him. We're going to spend eternity with Him. And yet God has spoken in the word. But what? But yet they were not faithful to obey God's word. That's the problem. Obedience. Disobedience. It's a great problem in the church. In the life of people. We want all of the blessings of God. We want to be joyous. We want to do everything that belongs to us. We want God to give to us. And a lot of times God says, I can't do it because you keep disobeying me. When are you going to grow up? We used to hear that, remember? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to shape up? That's what Paul's saying to the church. Shape up. Get beyond the ABCs. Get beyond kindergarten. Go to math and English. Take science. Get smart, spiritually speaking. They were neglecting God's instruction. And when you neglect God's instruction, guess what happens? You begin to drift away from His blessings. You drift away from the blessings of God and you begin to reap cursings. Remember the children of Israel? In Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30, it's only for Israel. In the first 14 verses of chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, God says, these are the blessings that I will bless you with. And then from verse 15 all the way through the other two chapters, it's nothing but cursings. Why? Because God knew their hearts. God knew their hearts. God knows our hearts. God wants us to obey, not to disobey. And yet the writer seeks to encourage those in the church to move ahead in their spiritual lives by showing them that in Christ Jesus they have, listen, this is a key word, better blessings. Better blessings. That's a key word used here in the book of Hebrews. We'll see in a moment. So we see that Jesus is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher of our faith. The book of Hebrews presents the Christian faith in life as superior person in chapters 1 through 6. His actually priesthood is superior than Aaron. In chapter 7 through 10, the principle of faith is superior than to the law in chapters 11 through 13. So Paul is going to deal with some pretty incredible things that we're going to be learning. And by the way, there are 6 major warnings in the book of Hebrews that we will see. Warning Christians. Warning those Hebrews in the church. Because even Peter informs us that some people had taken Hebrews and misinterpreted the hard things to their own destruction in that culture. Again, in 2 Peter 3:16, Peter reminds and says, it's also in all Paul's epistles speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You see? If you don't study God's word, if you don't read God's word, then you're going to twist God's word when you do that. You can't change it. You can't twist it. The word of God has to be true to itself. By doing exegesis, interpreting the Bible, just as it is. And yet, it's so hard for people to understand because they don't read, they don't study, they don't meditate, they don't spend time with God. That becomes a great problem in their lives. And yet, this is because they wrestle with the scriptures and they twist the passages of its context, perverting the letter to say what it does not really mean for their own benefit. You see? That's how people twist scripture. They fit it to themselves. Many religions do that. But you can't do that. We must be careful to interpret Hebrews in the light of the entire Word of God. The Old Testament with the New Testament. There's a lot of quotes from the Old Testament in the book of Hebrews. He really knew his Old Testament, you know, Bible. The Old Testament scriptures. The five exhortations are placed here so that we may be able to see clearly the development of the book of Hebrews. We believe that these exhortations are written to believers since the writer is identifying himself with the people that he's addressing. You see? That's why we know that these are believers. He places himself with them in the address of the letter. He says, we ought to give. How shall we escape? Let us therefore fear. This is Paul talking in this letter. There are some key words in the book of Hebrews that we need to know. The word eternal is used 15 times. 15 times. Eternal. The word that is used here is the word found. 13 times the word priest, high priest, used 32 times. 32 times in the book of Hebrews. The word heaven, 17 times. The word better, 13 times. For example, in Hebrews 1:4, he says, having become so much better than the angels, and that he, Jesus, has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than the angels. Chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that are accompanying salvation, though we speak in this manner. Chapter 7, verse 7. Not beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. You see? Chapter 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Chapter 7, 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Chapter 8, 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, and so much as he also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Hebrews 9, 23. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Hebrews 10:34. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you had a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hebrews 11:35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hebrews 11:40. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Hebrews 12:24. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You see? So cool. Jesus is better than anything else. And then the word perfect used 14 times. In Hebrews 2:10, he says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 5:9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food belongs to those who are of a full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Hebrews 7:11. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? We're going to study about Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Hebrews 7:28, for the law appoints a high priest men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son, Jesus, who has been perfected forever. I love it. Notice that. Hebrews 9:9. It was symbolic for the present time, and with both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those approach perfect. Speaking of the sacrifice and how Christ became a sacrifice once and for all. And then chapter 10, 14. For by one offering he was perfected forever for those who are being sanctified. Jesus. Verse 40 of chapter 11. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then lastly, Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of the just men made perfect. Interesting. Made perfect. Speaking of everything that we are. As you begin to see here, not only how Paul the Apostle, but how the book of Hebrews is so complete and perfect. The book of Hebrews also, we find six warnings, very, very heavy warnings. And maybe one Sunday morning I'll do all six of them for you because they should be preached. But listen to what he says, the first danger here, the first signal given to the church in the book of Hebrews, the danger of drifting away from God. In chapters 2, verses 1 through 4, we'll get to that in next week or a couple weeks. But the way we're going, forget it. And then secondly, the danger of actually coming to that place of doubting, of doubt, in chapter 3, 7 through chapter 4, verse 2. And then the third signal, the danger of dull hearing. Not really paying attention, not really doing what God says. That's in chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. And then fourthly, the danger of departing from the faith. Departing, apostatizing. Chapter 6, 1 through 20. And then fifthly, the danger of despising. Notice that our salvation, chapter 10, verses 26 through 39. And then six, the danger signal of denying in chapter 12, verse 15 to 29. Let's just for a second go ahead and go to the book of Hebrews. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 14 and see what he says on the first one on actually drifting from the faith. He says, therefore, we must give more earnest heed to these things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. God's purpose, notice, on the earth to be subject to humanity. So we see the first warning that he gives to us is a danger of drifting from the faith. Secondly, turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. He says this, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12, beware, brethren, speaking to Christians, notice, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Pretty amazing. These are good warnings to the church today. Thirdly, turn to chapter 5, verse 11 of Hebrews. Chapter 5, verse 11, having dull of hearing. He says in verse 11, he says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need that someone teach you again the principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of a full age. Notice that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As we study God's word, as we read, as we pray, as we come to Bible study, we become sharp in the spiritual area of making decisions and doing what's right before God. You see? He's warning. And then chapter 6, verse 1 through 20. We're not doing the whole chapter, but just I'll read some things here. Verse 1. Therefore, this is again drifting or departing, apostatizing from the faith. Therefore, having or leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection by not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God, but of the doctrine of baptisms, or the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, or of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they have crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put him into an open shame. Wow, those are hard passages. Notice what he says. Hard passages. We're going to deal with those passages. Then the next one is chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 26. Chapter 10, 26. Look what he says. He says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, then there remains no longer a sacrifice for sins. Wow. Imagine that. We're going to study that. Don't get condemned tonight. We're going to study it. You know, you can get bummed out. You know, let's read the next verse. He says, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment in fiery indignation, which will devour thee, notice, the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment do you suppose will be, though worthy, a person who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counting the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Whoa. That's heavy. That's pretty heavy language. You know, he says here, those that insult Christ, those, he's talking to believers. Pretty heavy. Then he goes on to say this. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. And then he says this, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Wow. The book of Hebrews is going to bring us to our knees. It's going to show you what real Christianity is. Where a lot of people today are not practicing what Paul preaches. In what Christ preached. And then the last one is in chapter 12. Verse 15. Denying. The danger of denying. Verse 15. He says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many became defiled. He says, lest there be any fornicator or any, notice, profane person like Esau, who for the one moment of for food sold his birthright. He's talking about how people get salvation and they trade in what God's given to them, the gift that God gives to them, for something cheap. Judgment. Notice that. For you know that afterwards, when they wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Esau, even though he sought it with crying and saying, oh Lord, forgive me, please forgive me, God didn't forgive him. Cross the line. Hebrews is going to teach us to stay as far as we can away from the edge of that line. And to enjoy the grace and the mercies of God. God desires that we come to that place in our lives so that we can progress, we can mature, we can grow, and we can see the superiority of Jesus Christ in our lives so that we can say, surely God is here in our presence. He is here tonight. God wants to touch our lives. God wants to do great works. But then at the same time, we're going to learn so much more about Jesus in the book of Hebrews that you've learned anywhere else in the Bible. It's an incredible book. Because Jesus is the answer to any problem. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And there is no other salvation apart from Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can take you to the Father. No one can come to the Father unless you come to Jesus Christ, period. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what he says in his word. So I pray and I hope that in this introduction tonight, it'll give you an urgency, it'll give you a hunger and a thirst to go home this week and read all of Hebrews, only 13 chapters. And then we'll pick it up next week as we begin our ascent and descent through the book of Hebrews. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening to thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercies. And Lord God, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would teach us, lead us, guide us into all truth, Lord God. And Lord, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that, Lord, if there's anyone here drifting away from you, Lord God, anyone, Father, like Esau, trying to forfeit their birthright, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would make us sensitive in our hearts and minds that we only have one life to live. and it soon will be past. And the only thing that will last is what we do for Jesus Christ. Father, we pray tonight that you would speak to each one of us. And I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that is here for the first time and you don't know Christ. Maybe someone brought you. Maybe you came on your own. The Bible says that you have to have regeneration in your life, which means you have to be born again of the Holy Spirit. It's not by joining the church membership. You become a member of the body of Christ when you're born again into the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're ready to submit your life to Him, when you're ready to confess your sins, when you're ready to repent of your sins, then He will accept you. He'll receive you. And He will forgive you and cleanse you by His blood, every one of your sins. And He'll cast them as far as to the east and the west, and bury them in the deepest part of the ocean, and remember them never again. And He will write your name in the book of life. That's what the Bible says. If there's anyone here tonight that would like to receive Jesus Christ, we're going to ask you to stand to your feet, to walk onto the aisle and walk down the aisle and come up here to the front and stand here, and I'm going to pray with you. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, okay? Pray with me out loud this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I am a sinner. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature so you can grow. Why don't you guys go right over there, okay? Go right over there. Okay, cool. Thank you. All right. That's neat. What a blessing.